hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin West. To order or download additional resources, please visit kevinwest.org.
Turn your Bibles very quickly, if you don't mind, to Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to read a verse. It's going to take me a little time to get through this, but I want you to know something, and it's going to kind of speak for itself, and you'll see where I'm going after I read these several verses. Let me just open up my phone. Let's do it this way. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2 is going to be the first one we're going to read. Matthew 3, verse 2. Anybody have that? Anybody have a Bible? Good. Here we go. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. It says, and saying, and this is Jesus, okay? Or John the Baptist was preaching the word, and Jesus, and John the Baptist said, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan. And John was clothed with camel's hair and he preached them, there cometh one after me, one mightier than I after me, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I have indeed baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus of Nazareth came from Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan, and straightway he came up out of the water. He saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him to the wilderness, and he was there 40 days, tempted of Satan, as when with wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Luke 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Luke 16:16. And the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Right? Yes. Let's go to John 3:3. This is talking to Nicodemus. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Right? Acts 1:3. Just a couple of more. And we'll unpack this for us. Acts 1:3, to whom also he showed himself, this is after he resurrected, to also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts 8:12, this is after he ascended. Here's the disciples' message. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women, right? Acts 19:8. And this is Paul. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Matthew, last one, 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Who will build the church? Not Peter. Jesus is going to build the church, right? He said, I will build the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if the gates of hell prevail against it, who loses? Because Jesus said, I build the church. Can Jesus lose? So the gates of hell can't win. Because Jesus is building his church. Right? And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Listen to this. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. It doesn't say give keys to the kingdom. There's a difference. All right, you want to unpack this with me? All right, let's think about this for a moment. If I bring you, if I unlock my door to my house and I bring Rex in my door and I'm in the house, I brought him in the house and now I have this house with many rooms. If I don't give him the keys of the rooms, he can never enter into the rooms, right? But I can bring him in the house. So there could be a kitchen full of food, and if Rex doesn't have the keys of that room, even though I've already brought him in the house, he can be in the house and starve to death, right? It's not to, it's of. He never said, I'll give you keys to the kingdom. He said, oh, there'll be keys of the kingdom. So what that means is they are for partaking of things inside a realm of the Spirit that really doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And this is how this works. Remember that. Keys of the kingdom, because I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. In the very beginning, God put man in the garden. And he called it Eden. And Eden's name, that very place, is an environment for God to communicate and dwell. How do you know God is everywhere, but not everywhere is God's home? Right? You're here today, but this isn't your home. You have a home where you dwell. He's looking for a place to dwell. Right? He doesn't dwell in brick and mortar. He doesn't dwell in places made with man's hands. He dwells in the hearts of man. He comes to tabernacle. So when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he set up a tabernacle where he could come and dwell with his people. Right? In the new covenant, he comes not dwell in a tabernacle made with hands of physical structure. He now comes and dwells in the hearts of man. So the only place that God lives and dwells as a home is in the heart of man, right? So as the environment is conducive for him to have a home and be home, feel like it's home, it will be the place he tabernacles. Eden was a place where God tabernacled with Adam. It was a place where he dwelt. It was a place he could call home. He would come down in the cool of the evening and talk to him, right? The reason being is because he gave Adam specific instructions because Adam was his son, right? Now, God was in charge, and he left Adam in control. And he said, Adam, I'm in charge of this whole thing. I am in charge of everything, but I'm making... I'm delegating my authority to you to be in control. So you're going to be in control. So what your job is, Adam, is I need you to make earth, the rest of the earth that's already been a mess, it's already been, you've fallen, Satan's fallen, it's all messed up, it's dark, it's evil, it needs to be replenished. Adam, this place that I have here in Eden, I need for you to take my instruction as my son. And I need you to take this as I communicate to you, and I need you to expand my home. I need you to go and encroach on the world and make this world where I dwell. Increase my tabernacle, a place, my dwelling place. Find me places that I could dwell. Increase this place. So Adam, in his being the first son, became in control of the earth. Would you all agree with that? But who's still in charge? God's in charge. Adam's in control. That makes sense? You all with me? Because it's important. We got to go. We got to build on this thing. All right? So in other words, what he's saying is, Adam, I'm the king, but I'm letting you be the guy that represents the king in the earth. And your responsibility is to make the same relationship that happens in heaven. I need you to make that same relationship known here to the earth. Are we okay? It's critical. So Adam is now in control, but he's not in charge. Adam falls because he hears the voice of the enemy coming through his wife, and he relinquishes control. Guess who's now in control? It's the serpent, Satan, the devil. The enemy's in control. But who's still in charge? God never lost being in charge. But because God set it up this way, and because God wants the earth to be the same rule and reign and domain as heaven, God then began to have, because he yielded himself to his sons. So now his son is still an inheritance and an heir of all of the kingdom of heaven, but he's not in charge in the earth. The enemy is. So God begins to speak and figure out a way. He had a plan. God began to show himself to mankind over the next 4,000 years on how he was going to introduce a plan to mankind to give us back control so that the Son and the Father would be in charge and in control at the same time. And when that happened, then all of heaven would be a portal to the earth, a portal to the earth to get everything that's in that kingdom established here in the earth. Does that make sense? You all following what I'm saying? This is critical because you got to know. See, it's one thing to have you find my purpose in life, but unless you know you're a part of a bigger purpose, it'll all be about your purpose. And if you're not careful, it'll all be about me and not about him. But as long as when you start to realize it's about him, but he made it about you, then you realize that even though he's made it about me, I don't have a choice. I have to make it about you. Because if I make it about me, I won't make it about you, and I won't make it about him, and then I'm all about me. But he wants it about you, and if he made it about you, and you realize that he's making it about you, then you have to make it about them. And if I make it about them, and I'm making it about you, then I'm making it about him, because that's what he's making it about. Does that make sense? We'll have to replay that, I know. But the bottom line is this. You have to know it's not about you, even though he's making it about you. It's about him. And then you can rest in the fact is he's made it about you. And it's okay that he made it about you. Because he wants you to be in control. Because he's in charge. There's nothing worse than a father being in charge and their kids out of control. You brought them into this world. You give them the opportunity. You've given them everything they know to do. You've blessed them. You've set parameters, direction, instruction. You've done it all. But you can't go invade their life and make them make right decisions. You're in charge. You are. You have the ability to disconnect or you have the ability to stay connected. They can be a life source. They can be a place of draw. However, you can't control their life when they receive certain age. You just can't do it. So what God said at that time was this. I'm going to show myself. I've got a plan. I'm going to work it out. So Jesus comes to the earth. He comes to the earth, and when he dies on the cross, he now receives control of the earth. Right? In the garden, Adam was in control, God in charge. Adam releases control, but God's still in charge. Jesus comes not in control. How I know that is Satan took him up on the mountains and said, I can give you this, this, and this if you'll do this. You remember? And he said, I have the authority to give these to you. Why? Because I'm in control. Jesus didn't confuse him and say, no, you're not in control. You just think you are. No, he was in control. But he also knew that who was in charge. The Father was in charge. And the plan was for man to be in charge. Man to be in control as his Father is in charge. It's kind of confusing, isn't it? So Jesus dies, and through the death of the testator, the inheritance of the earth now come back to his son. So now that looks like this. As soon as Jesus rose from the grave, this was the picture of planet Earth during that time. It went from my first son in control and God in charge to losing control, but my Father still in charge. Jesus comes not in control, but his Father was in charge. Jesus dies and resurrects. Jesus is in control, and my Father is in charge. It's back in order as it was before Adam lost it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Adam had it to give away, and he gave it to the wrong one. Jesus didn't have it, but died to inherit it. And when he died and inherited it, now he has it to give away. So who's in control? Right. Who's in charge? Jesus ascends to the Father in heaven, seated at the right hand, sends out the baptism of the Spirit, sends the Spirit of God to the earth, and he says, I now give it to you. Right? So who's in control and who's in charge? We in control, and the Son, the Father is still in charge. If we relinquish control to the one that Adam did, who's still in charge? But who's in control? It's God's will for us to be in control and him in charge. We okay? That's the purpose of the earth. That's the purpose of mankind. Why? We are here for what purpose? To bring what's in he's in charge of and what he left us in control of to be synchronized. And whatever his kingdom is in heaven is to be controlled, managed, stewarded on the earth. But if we're not in control, it'll never happen like it is in heaven. So what happens over the course of time is we begin to not realize we're in control because we think God's in charge and in control. And if you think God's in control, you'll know that you're not. And you'll abdicate your responsibility in the earth to the one that's in charge but left you in control. So when things get out of whack in the system, in the earth, whose ultimate responsibility is it? God or the one he left in control? Right. So when an earthquake happens, or a shooting happens and takes out a bunch of people, who's in charge? But why does God get indicted for those things as if God was in control? You can't indict God in charge because he is. Mankind's out of our position, and when mankind, the Son, is out of his position, we've relinquished it over to the enemy, and darkness covers the face of the earth. Right? This is powerful. This is alignment. This is realizing Father-Son relationship. Jesus' will is for the Son, us, through him, that he delegated his authority to be in control. So if you take a look at your life and it's not in control, who's in charge? God's in charge. But who's out of control? Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, but here's what happens. Here's the beauty of this. You can look at yourself and say, okay, I got to get myself under control. I got to do this. I got to get this in control. There's things in my life I got to get out of control. Good luck. Because you can't do it in your own human flesh. Adam was a living soul that tried to do it by ear. So he released his control when he operated from here. Jesus is a quickening spirit. He didn't lose control. He gained control. Right? So our model and our pattern is him. If you try to do it from here only, then you're going to fail. You're going to fight for control and lose control. But if you do it by what Christ did, which is his death, burial, and resurrection, you gain control. So to gain your life back, you have to lose it. Y'all following this? I know this is a little deep, but it's really basic. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? You got to understand what this is for. Otherwise, you'll turn on Fox News and go, wow, this is, world's going crazy. Yeah, because we're not in control. And guess what he's doing? He's putting us in control. His son never lost control, but his son delegated it to us. Jesus delegated control to us while his father's in charge. Our job is to realize, first of all, we're in control. Right? And then the second thing we have to realize is that is our purpose here. And the second thing we have to realize is we can't control by the flesh. We only have to be able to control through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He said, I have beat, I've taken care of all principalities and powers underneath my feet. I sit high above all principalities and powers, right? So you have to know that we are here on purpose for a reason to bring the message of heaven into the lives of people on earth. We are not here to build a church. He said he would do that. Matthew 16, remember? Who said he'd build the church? Jesus. And he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Jesus said that. So if the gates of hell prevails against his church, that's his problem, right? However, he delegated his control on the earth to his people, right? So he's seated in heavenly places. So unless you're seated in heavenly places and you see yourself already victorious, you're going to scrape and scrap and fight to try to make ends meet in this earth to get control when you have to realize you can't get control by working at it. You get control by realizing who you are in the one that's still in control. We okay? You inherit control by the death of Christ. You don't work to get control. You inherit it. You only get it through relationship. And if you're in the will, the New Testament is his will and testament. He died. The book is opened. The will is opened. You inherit control of the earth. But the minute you try to do it in your own name, you disqualify yourself from being an heir. It's only in him do you inherit anything. That's why the Bible says you are a joint heir with Christ and an heir of God. Are we okay with this? This making sense? All right, because I'm going to land somewhere with this and it's going to open up to you. All right, I pray. Let's make this bigger, okay? The big picture is this. You are here to be in control of your life and the earth. So when somebody comes and says the earth is going to hell in a handbasket, it is not God. It's us out of position. I just read it to you. Right? So when Jesus comes, his message was the kingdom. It wasn't salvation. He didn't even preach the cross. Even though the cross is the centerpiece of the kingdom for us, his message was the kingdom. Are we okay with this? This is critical. You have to understand what your message is. Your life is the message of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is his righteousness, his peace, and his joy in the Spirit. In John 18, he says this, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, we'd be fighting to make it happen. So you cannot strong arm yourself or strong out others into getting in control. That's why when the man Peter cut off the guy's ear when they were getting to crucify Jesus, he said, "You don't know what you don't. We don't do this. It's not how we work. You know, to live, you have to die. To be in first, you got to be last. To lead, you got to serve. This thing is upside down. Why? Because naturally, the enemy was in control because Adam lost it. Right? So Jesus came to put it back in control of mankind. And when he did, and his sons and his daughter, and when he did, he looked at mankind and says, this is the pattern. The pattern for up is down. The pattern to win is to lose. Y'all hear this? The pattern to walk in the spirit is to die out in the flesh. So here's our deal. So we got this thing going on now. Oh gosh, now I got to get this under control. There's a beautiful part about this story. You can't do it. It's impossible for you to do it. You can't muster up enough willpower, self-control, pump yourself up. You can't even get enough adrenaline flowing to make this one working. There's only one way. And it's to lose your identity in control or out of control and identify yourself with the one that truly never lost control. And that's him. Jesus never lost control. He only came to gain control. And he gained it by losing the control, losing on the death. It looked like a loss, but it was our gain. But he died on the cross. So through the death, the burial and the resurrection, he raises, and guess who's in control? Jesus. The disciples now have the message. It's the kingdom. What's the kingdom? We have to bring what all of heaven's forces are to create an environment like Eden, where God wants to have a home. And he doesn't dwell in buildings, he dwells in people. So our responsibility now is, I have to bring to Rex whatever is out of his of control. I have to bring, I'm in control because I'm in Jesus. I bring everything that has, it's a Rex, that is out of control. I have to bring control to him. How do I do that? If he has sickness in his body, I bring to Rex something that I have that eliminates the sickness in his body because the sickness is in control. But God's will is for him to be in control. Right? So if he is bound, then my job is to come and bind the one that's stronger than him. You okay with this? I give you the keys of the kingdom. When I am born again, I have keys because I'm in Christ, the house. I now have keys available to me. Christ is the door into the house, right? But once I'm in the house, the keys are of the house. So they belong to me. So sickness is not in the house in heaven. So it can't reside in the house in the earth, right? So if I recognize that I'm in him, everything that's coming against him that's not of God, I have authority and can take control over that thing that has to go because I show up on the scene. Is this making sense? Okay? Are you sure? You got to get this. But this is critical because as you mobilize an entire body of people in the last days we're in, these days that God's moving like he is, we can raise up a people that have victory. But if we don't understand our purpose in him and what his purpose is, we'll lose control to pride. And pride will turn it back over to the enemy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it turns, he eats the flesh of the ground. He eats it. That feeds the enemy. The serpent crawled on the dust of the ground, and he ate the dust of the ground. The dust of the ground, man was made. So when you operate in flesh, you feed the enemy, and you lose control. And there's only one way to overcome the flesh. crucify it. And you can't do that on your own. Otherwise, you'd be crucifying your own flesh. That's cutting. Didn't work. What does work? Wait a minute. He already did it. He became flesh and destroyed the works of flesh. So if I identify myself in him, I now get his control. He gives me the Spirit from heaven in this earth. The Father now dwells in me. It's Eden in my heart. We fellowship in here, right? Now I live from this place of Eden, and everywhere I go, I'm taking control of anything and everything that's out of control that my Father is in charge. So you are connected to the Father that's in charge. And when you immediately find something that's grounded out here in the earth that is not bringing charge and control in harmony and synchronized, your job is to bring control that brings lines up with heaven and earth. So when you begin to pray, anything according to what? Everything he's in charge of. He hears you, his Spirit activates you, and everything that you face in life that is against you, that's trying to take control, he overcomes. Are you, is this making sense? So you have an addiction. All right, you got an addiction problem. You're out of control. You're out of control. You fought it. You have to first get a picture, a snapshot of what you're dealing with. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with as far as the drug or the alcohol or the pornography or whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, take a snapshot. The snapshot is this. Who's in charge? God. And you can't keep crying out to God, God, do something. Why? Because he delegated the control to his son. Right. So if you're trying to get him to do something, when he put us in control, then you're going to be going against the grain, and your willpower will do well for a while. And then you'll fall off, and then you'll relapse, and then you'll do well for a few days. And even if you're not even doing the thing you're doing, you're still in bondage because you're totally not free. Does that make sense? There's only one way to get free. First, come to the end of yourself that you can't fix this on your own. You can't. It's impossible by human element to get yourself under control. It's impossible. But the minute you run out of your humanity and you say, run into your humanity and you say, this is what I'm capable of. I have a proper assessment of my strengths and my weaknesses, and my best isn't good enough. My worst certainly isn't good enough. At that moment in time, you have to surrender or yield yourself to the one that overcome the one that was in control. So you begin to line up with what Jesus said about you versus what you have said about you and others have said about you. So if Jesus says you are an overcomer, that identity becomes more real to you than your strengths and your weaknesses. Right? So you have to begin to think yourself different than you were. You cannot fight, we can't fight the world's problems the way we fought the world's problems in the past. Right? We can't. We'll give a good shot at it, and then we'll just fall back. We can only do this by realizing one thing. The Father is in charge, and Jesus, the Son, is in control. And because we're in him, and he went and ascended to heaven, and he left us on the earth, we are in control. It's our responsibility to get everything in control in the earth that's out of control. I know this sounds weird, but I'm telling you, it's scripture. He said, the message was clear. I read about 10 scriptures that said this, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. He came and messaged the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom. And what we've done over the last several decades is we've ministered to people's personal needs, and we've got them free to some degree, and then they get better, or we get them saved, and their name is written in heaven. So now they realize, oh, my Lord, I need a Savior. I get saved. My name's written in the book of life, but I'm left here on the earth, so he's still in charge. But even though I'm saved, on my way to heaven, my life is out of control. And even though I'm out of control and he's still in charge, his will is for you to be in control and him to be in charge. Not separated, but synchronized. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about secret, where he, your life becomes Eden and he dwells in you. And you're fellowshipping together. And that's only done through the blood, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You have to begin to understand, when Jesus died, so did you. You weren't born yet. Doesn't matter. He died for everybody. He died when you weren't born for you. What? That's called faith. You believe that. You cannot identify yourself to get better and to do good things, because your best works won't fix this thing. Man, is this making any sense? Are you sure? Because it's complicated, but yet it's the simplest of all. Because if you can't see where you are, how am I on time? Oh, gosh, I got 10 minutes. I could really make this make sense now. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm working this thing out, guys, because I'm telling you, I feel it. It's in my heart. We can't just be another church massaging the flesh of people that are out of control and our Father in charge. And then the world taking shots at our Father because the world's so bad. And us that he left in control. It'd be like Adam losing control and going like this. Oh, man, it's your problem. And Adam did it. It was that woman you gave me. Didn't he? So we passed the buck. How about somebody step up to the plate and say, send me, Isaiah says. Ezekiel says, send me. Hosea says, I guess I'll do it. Old Testament prophets over and over stood to the plate and stood face to face with Israel and said, or went to Nineveh and said, if you repent, and he'll save you all, forgive all your stuff. Old Testament. Jesus said in Luke 16, up until Jesus come, all they had was the law and the prophets, pointing to what? A time when there was a kingdom that was coming to the earth that was not of this world. And when Jesus come, he declared, hey guys, the message has always been, one day it's going to come, but I'm here. And now the kingdom is here. Let me demonstrate how the spiritual kingdom works and how you can truly be in control. When they smack you on one side, you turn the other cheek. When they kick you, you forgive them. When they spit in your face, you just keep your mouth shut. When they're talking about you, you don't have to have revenge. When people are doubting you, you have to just keep your mouth shut and know that God's for you. Right? When you fall and you've failed 7 and 8 and 10 times, you just have to get back up and say, man, you know what? Here we go again. Right? When they doubt you, when you doubt yourself, you have to kick yourself and say, oh, I recognize that's not the voice of the one that's in charge. When the one that says you're not going to end well is not the voice of the one that's in charge. The one that says you're not going to make it, it's not the voice. God surely didn't say that. You mean you're not good enough? You're not talented enough? You're not qualified enough? Yeah, but you know where you've been. You know what you've done. You can't do that because you got all those kids. You know what I'm talking about. That voice, anything that says I can't, is not from him. And what your responsibility is to do, that's a stranger's voice. I won't follow it. Right? Didn't say you wouldn't hear it. You won't follow it. There's an alliance, and the reason I'm even having to do this message today is that my message is Christ and him crucified in the kingdom of God, okay? It is the grace of God, and man, I got some stuff that I'm going to be sharing in the weeks to come that are going to challenge our way we see things, okay? But we have to have a proper framework of why we're here. Otherwise, we'll be like Peter, wanting to cut off an ear. Jesus walked with him 3.5 years, spoke the kingdom, demonstrated the kingdom. All he talked about was the kingdom. And not a kingdom such as, you know, like some big far out place. No, no, no. It was here. It's a spiritual discerning place, a place that we live from our heart in the Garden of Eden, where he's here. And he began to, and then Jesus said, I got to go away. And you know what they asked him after 3.5 years before he died? Is this when you go set up your kingdom here on the earth? This is where the place is. They're still looking for the White House, right? They're still looking for the government structure. And he did come to set up a government. But the government is not of this world. It's a governing people that know that their father is in charge. And he's left them here, not to hurry up and get to heaven, but here to be in control. And everything that's out of control in this world, God left you here and me here to bring in control. You can't do it in yourself. You can only do it in Christ, because he's the one that's overcome the world. So in him, all things are possible. One last scripture, Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 6, listen to this. Now this is speaking of Jesus. When Jesus wasn't in control, but the Father was in charge. But one in certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. That word angel there is Elohim. Made him a little lower than God. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. What, glory and honor? Yeah, glory and honor. He gave him his glory, and he honored him, and did set him above over the works of his hands. Wait a minute. That means God created the entire earth, and then he set man that he's mindful of over the works of his hands. So who's in charge? But who's in control? Thou hast put all things under subjection under his feet. Who's under whose feet? The Son of Man. And who is the one that conquered it all? Christ Jesus, right? Jesus the Christ. There's one that's righteous, only one, right? No man is righteous, only he is righteous, and because we're in him, he's made us righteous. You all good with that? Listen, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he has left nothing that is not put under him. There is nothing that has come against you or is coming against you that is not under his feet, right? But now we see not yet all things put under him. Wait a minute. This is a picture of life. When you're living life, and we know he's in charge, and Jesus is in control because he conquered it all. And he left us here in him to control everything. So we know in theory that all things are under his feet. We know all principality and power are underneath him. We can quote it. We can scream it. We shout it. We can even pray it. But there are times in our life when circumstances of life overwhelm us and we don't see all things under his feet. I've preached this scripture wrong before. I preached it where he's saying one day when Jesus comes back, all things are going to be under his feet. He hadn't conquered that last one yet. So you got to endure and keep going and pressing in. What? Until he comes back and it's all either the blood killed it. When he died on the cross, even the blood satisfied it or it didn't. Either the resurrection from the tomb is victory for all or it's not. And I happen to believe that there's not one greater victory to come in history or in past, present, or future that is greater than the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That settled it all. So when I got life circumstances that I can't see under his feet, I can't just defer that to the Father in charge and something else is going to happen. There's one remedy to get my life in control and get things around me in control. But we now see not yet all things under his feet. So when you're looking at your situation in your life and nothing is, it's overwhelming, it's over your head, it's penetrating your heart and it's overwhelming you. Next verse. But we see Jesus, who was made little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for everyone. became him for whom all things and by him all things, and bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through his sufferings. Listen, his sufferings have made you perfect. So here's the deal. You have to know that he made you, son of man, a little lower than God, but above the angels. Right? And he left you here on this earth so you can be in control while your father is in charge. But sometimes life overwhelms us. And sometimes problems seem to just take control of ourselves, and we feel like we're losing control, and we're feeling defeated and down and out, and nobody understands us, and I can't kick this habit, and this one's got me down again, and I messed it up again, and the enemy wants you to take that and let that be your identity and realize that it's bigger than you, it's greater than you. And then shame and condemnation and all the emotional attachments come with that. And then now you're down and out, and depression sets in. And when those things set in, guess what? We begin to medicate on things of the world because something in our heart is yearning for control. He put it there. So when you're not in control, you begin to medicate on the things that are in control of you. So when you fight and you're fighting, and you identify him, and you get your feet knocked out from underneath you, and the day is just awful, and your sickness, disease, whatever it might be, relationally, whatever, you got to know that you are made a little lower than God, higher than angels. His mind is full of you. Who is man that he's mindful of me? God's mind is full of you. He made you a little lower than him, but higher than the angels. All things have been put under the feet. But yet, sometimes we don't see it because life is too consuming. At that moment, we have to disqualify ourselves, because at that time, the enemy begins to say, well, here's how it's working. So, no. We are disqualified in ourselves. Verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, that also was made a little lower than God, but higher than the angels. That through his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension, all things are under his feet. And through his suffering, you have been made victorious. So you don't have to suffer for God to get glory while he's in charge. He suffered to gain control. So you identify yourself of who you are, and you identify who he is, and you realize you're insufficient, but he's sufficient. And if you begin to take on his identity and you begin to behold Jesus, you will see that I'm coming up short in myself, but Jesus didn't come up short. He died that we might live. And he died for all of mankind, past, present, and future. So it was the grace of the Father in charge that gave us the pardon by the grace of God to get control. But it's the same grace that gave us control is the same grace that you keep control. That you develop control. That you grow in control. And how you grow in control is your trust in the one that took it all. Come on, guys. That's it. So it's in your head. It's in your heart. When you are saved, it's official. You're born again. The grace saved you. You're in the house. Now, I'm in the house. I'm not going out that door anymore. I've come through Jesus. Now I'm in the house of God. I got to know what's in that room, and what's in that room, and what's in that room, and then what's in that room. And I got to explore him for who he really is. And in my Father's house are many mansions. Not just a mansion on the hill in heaven, but in a spiritual sense. Ernest is a mansion. I'm in the house. He's saved. I'm saved. We're in the house of God. I now get the key of Ernest to tap into Ernest, everything that he is. Files taxes in all 50 states. That's his vocation, right? Counting. But he's a heart of gold, has compassion for people, connects with people that are hurting. So what I do, I unlock with my key of Ernest into Gary. And I say, Gary, you got to meet Ernest. Ernest, come over here. This is Gary. Gary, I unlock Gary. And I go, these two go together because we're in our Father's house. I'm not trying to get in the kingdom, right? I'm in the house. I'm just connecting, relating. What am I doing? What? Why? Because he has the key and is the key of the kingdom to unlock anything that's outside of control of your life. So he brings what you don't have, and he's in control of it. You're out of control, but you're both your father's in charge. So he can bring what's in control in his life, bring it in control in your life, and synchronize your father that's in charge, and the kingdom is established. And guess what happens? Eden progresses, progresses, and the dwelling house of God expands all across the globe, earth by earth by earth, until the whole earth is covered with his glory. Now, the knowledge of the glory of God covers the earth as the water covers the sea. Stand your feet. Well, how do you do an altar call or pray after that? I worked it out. So much inside of me, guys. I feel like it's where we have to go as people. I just want to equip you. I want you to equip you before you go to work tomorrow or go back to your place or wherever you're going, and you see something that's out of control, doesn't line up with the kingdom of God. Just know if God's in charge, you're on the scene now. Guess what you do? Put it in control. How you do that? Set people straight? Tell them how the truth? Nah. The law came through Moses. The grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's through humility. It's the opposite of the world. Can I prophesy to you for just a moment, because we're going to close? Can I prophesy to you for a moment? You're seeing the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God this world has ever seen. There are people. I talked to Michael about this yesterday. I feel this so strong in my heart. Back in the 80s, Jim Baker fell. Jimmy Swaggart fell. And from that point on, there was a disillusion that hit the world, hit the Christian world. We looked at him, and man, some people never know what I'm talking about. Other people heard about it, didn't affect them. But there's a whole grandparent generation and an older parent generation that was affected by it. So they raised, in Pentecostalism, they raised children, and they have grandchildren now that are raised in an offense, even though they didn't know it. Right? Okay. What you're going to experience is some of the greatest forgiveness and mercy and grace this nation has ever seen in the church world. You're going to begin to see an outpouring of God's love. You know why? Because those that are addicted, the addiction is the biggest issue we have in the entire country. You're going to see those people, all of you, all people, whoever you are, and those that are still out there, you're going to get delivered. They're going to get delivered in an instant. And all this process that Rocky's doing isn't to keep you delivered. It's not the houses that are being built out there and the programs, but not to get people delivered. They're to get people equipped for the reigning of the control and increasing Eden all across this globe. It's a discipleship. It's an equipping center. It's understanding the kingdom. You guys and they are wired differently. You're going to see the revival of a lifetime. There's no frame of reference for it. You're going to see sweeping a baptism of the Holy Spirit from one end of the state to the other. You're going to see it from one end of the nation to the other. It's going to be undeniable. It's going to be, you can't teach people how to just mimic you. You can't. It's going to be so undeniable that even the people will be amazed. You're going to see it happen. You're going to see national news chains, syndicated programs, Fox and CNN and MSNBC, will be traveling down the Christian world and staking out churches just to see the authenticity of the power of God moving people's lives. You think I'm kidding you? I'm telling you right now, the greatest army that's being built right now have been and are in the prison system. Mark it down. You're going to see one of the greatest outpouring you've ever seen in your entire life. Now, I just heard the Lord say this. Some of you, the Lord has just told you to throw in your towel. Just quit. It's too hard. And it is. You got to press into it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't step back. Don't be a bystander. Get engaged. You're in control. I summons every one of you today. I summons you to get in the game and enlist in the kingdom. It's time that we go and take control, his control, that self-control into the world, because our Father's in charge. And I summons you, anything that's out of control in your life, personally, it's time. You crucify it. Do it through Jesus. Bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to pray and close. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're raising up a people I just heard the Lord say, this is that. Back up. There's a pattern that's coming to the body of Christ, none like we've ever seen before. There's not a frame of reference for walking this one out. Ronnie spoke at us several weeks ago. There's not something that we've seen that gives us just something to look at. But the Lord is saying right now that he is going to have us trust him by faith. And as we take a step, he's going to meet us right where we are. And he's making the crooked places straight. There are those of you in here that have operated in the healing gift. And the Lord said you haven't operated in it in a while. You've been entangled with dialogue with your mind and the enemy for control. And the Lord told me to tell you, you have a gift to open up that gift again, take authority, because the Father ruled heaven as in charge by his words. And the word came to the earth to demonstrate control. So the words that come out of your mouth will bring control into the earth if you bring the word. It's not mind over matter or just confession. It's the word will become flesh. Oh my. Guys, if I could just show you what I'm seeing in my head. I'm seeing expansion. There's a wife in here, your husband works all the time. And you're thinking, man, I'm having to raise these kids, I'm on. This may be somebody listening to it by tape. When they hear the tape goes out of the radio. You're going, I'm having to raise these kids all the time myself. And I don't feel complete. And the pressure gets so hard at times. And you've been smiling all the way through it. And you hardly ever complain, but you know in your heart there's a sorrowful feeling. The Lord said, if you will right now release the control, he'll give you the control. You yield the control to him, and he will give you the control right back. In other words, you just look to him and you say, God, I can't fix this. And the minute you yield it, you are in full control. And the guy's heart, your husband's heart, will begin to move, and he'll have a strong desire to work things around to be more supportive and be there. Oh, Lord, that's the pattern. You're in control. Release control to gain control. That's the pattern. Somebody in here has got a back problem. You're hurting your back, and you're thinking, man, I've been dealing with this thing for years and years and years. Yep, you have. And I say in the name of Jesus, the Christ, the one that came and brought control back and put order back into this thing, I say in Jesus' name, you are whole and complete and healed. Back, get in control, and line up to the one that's in charge. Father, we bless these people. We bless them. We bless them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I heard the Lord again. I'm sorry, you guys. I just feel like the Lord just moving. Candy, that message, that teaching that you gave the last 2 weeks, as confident as you are in him baptizing, you have zero doubt that the Lord wants to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. You spoke his heart, and he just told me to just pray that, and pray that it's the Lord's will for his people to be filled with his Spirit to the fullness of who he is. And with that confidence that you spoke it, I'm going to pray it. And you're going to begin to see people not argue the issue, but receive it. Father, in Jesus' name, baptize your people with the Holy Ghost and fire, that the message of the kingdom will be confirmed with demonstration and power of your Spirit. No vain arguments, no philosophies, but demonstration and power of the word of your Spirit. Baptize them. Guys, this is going to sound nuts, but I'm going to tell you, mark this down and prophesy. I'm going to prophesy that you're going to see sinners. I've been running. I've left the house of God or not even been in the house of the Lord. You're going to see sinners weeping and crying because the presence of God is going to envelop them so strongly. And you're going to hear them begin to speak in tongues, and they haven't even been into the water baptism yet. You're going to begin to hear them be baptized in the Spirit, and your mind's going to be boggled and thinking, how in the world can this thing be? The Lord says, you're going to be just like Peter up on the roof and went in a trance, and he thought it was one way, and the Lord was showing him something different. Father, I say in Jesus' holy name, the Son of the living God, I say, God, baptize the earth with the fullness of who you are. God, pour out your Spirit upon these people. Pour out your Spirit in the fullest of measure. Blow our minds, Lord. Give us something that's unexplainable, that will baffle our heads and not line up with our theology. Lord, baffle us. Blow our minds. Get sinners saved just by something that you moved on them, not something that we did. Let them come in, God, with a revelation that's going to put all this together and connect the dots and make your house expanded and the mansion even become clear. Father, we bless you and we thank you, Lord, and we say, God, let your people be that demonstrates your Spirit, that Jesus will be exalted. The grace of God by the power of God will show the world that you are in charge and you have a Son in his body that is in control. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen, 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 amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. We'll see y'all next Sunday.